Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed that. Anyway, you'll find a way.
There are many roads to boat wealth, the sort of wealth where you can buy a boat. You can get that sort of wealth by succeeding in business, or by becoming a big celebrity in movies. You can get that kind of wealth by becoming the dictator of a country. You can get that sort of wealth by having ancestors who did terrible, horrible, very bad things. You know, if your grandpa was a top Nazi and smuggled gold into a bank account.
Hello, I would like to put this gold in this very secret Swiss bank account, please.
You can probably buy a boat.
Thank you for my boat, grandpa.
But at this time, James Donald Forbes McCann is trying to get boat wealth another way. He's trying to get boat wealth in a way that nobody has ever done it before.
It's only once in a man's life. Oh, sometimes never in a man's life, but it's only ever once in a man's life that he stands on the precipice of the release of his first book of poems. Marlon Brando, 9/11, my first book of poems, will be coming out on September 10. Pre-9/11, and it's about 80 pages, costs $20 plus postage.
That's 25 cents a page. What a steal. What an inexpensive page.
And that's coming out September 10. I want to thank everybody who's been such a big, important part of bringing that book of poems together. I want to thank Jamison for designing the cover. It's a wonderful cover. It's exactly what I wanted it to be. I want to thank everyone who's proofread the book of poems. Now, obviously, you don't really have to proofread modern poetry, do you? You can just have spelling mistakes and commas in the wrong places, and people will think that you're being creative. Nevertheless, I have attempted to have more or less correct pronunciation and spelling.
I think James meant to say punctuation, not pronunciation, but he's tired after a long drive, so let's cut the man some slack.
I want to thank Sean Haylock and Anna Freer for writing two introductions, because I wanted to pad it out and make it a bit longer so that people who bought the book were getting some bang for their buck. I made the PDFs myself. I wrote the poems myself. I want to thank my dad as well. My dad has a poem in the book. He said, you know, I've written a poem. A couple people have spoken to me and said that they've been so moved by my flagrant writing of bad poetry that it's given them the confidence to write their own bad poetry. But I think Dad's poem is pretty good. So I've included one of his poems at the very end. You know, maybe we'll release as a Catamaran Press publishing house his poem. But how do I feel with these poems coming out so soon? I feel fine. Well, I feel fine about that. I feel terribly anxious about all sorts of other things, like moving house and being on the road. You know, the state of my soul, how fat I am, things like that. But the poems, I feel pretty good. I did a show last night in Brisbane where I read some of the poems. Man, the people of Brisbane loved it. Not all the poems, obviously. Some of the poems are not very funny. Some of the poems are too beautiful, moving and sad. Or just not very well written. But we're on our way. We are really well and truly on our way with the book of poems. And they're coming out, and I don't know how many will sell. For reference, I've got 2,300 people following me on Instagram. I've got 1,400 people on Facebook or thereabouts. I've got, just over 1,000 people on Twitter. Now, I don't know that I'll be really getting that many of any of those people buying a book of poems. I think on Twitter, people are there largely in case I, you know, go on one of my tirades. That's what they want to see. They don't really want to see a book of my poems. And I think Facebook, man, there's no traction on Facebook anymore. No one's actually on Facebook. Hello to you if you're on Facebook, but it's, I think I'm close to about 13 people on Facebook. This is called, this, by the way, what I'm talking through is the, someone described it in show business to me once. It's called the roadway to audience. Maybe it was called highway to audience. Maybe it was just called road to audience. It's like you want to capture people on social media and then try and push a product on them. But I don't really have a very big social media presence. About 500 downloads of this podcast every week. And thank you for tuning in. I love having you listen into my podcast. How many books of poetry are we going to sell in the first weekend? Up to the Monday morning after the book comes out, how many people are going to order a book of these poems? What sort of income can we predict? Well, we've got just over 2,000 Instagram people. We've got about 700 YouTube people, just over 1,000 Twitterers and Facebookers. I have a small mailing list. And I, of course, have this podcast, which gets about 500 listens. Now, if you add all that together, you get a number that's probably not very indicative of how many fans I have, because I assume that the things double up. You know, if you like me on Instagram, you might like me on Facebook, you might like me on the Twitter, you might listen to the podcast. Anyway, so I don't know how many fans. I'm going to say the number of fans I have is probably just the 500 people listening to this week. That's the true, committed James Donald Forbes McCann people. And even then, maybe it's only 400, and every week we're getting 100 curious Georges, Johnny-come-latelys, popping their heads in and saying, what's going on here? Oh, no, that's not for me. And then seeing themselves out. Some of them don't see themselves out, and they remain growing fans. But my point being, in terms of how many book buyers I have, with no promo, just people waiting out to drop cash on me, I don't know how many there are. I think in terms of people willing to buy tickets to something, there's a few hundred in Adelaide. There's maybe 50 in Brisbane, 50 in Melbourne, 50 in Sydney. Will all those people want to buy things? I don't know. So I asked my manager, and I said, Manager Jake, how many do you think I'm going to sell? And he said, I would be impressed by 30.
Actually, I listened back to the Patreon-only podcast where he made an estimate and it was actually only 20.
How many copies do you think we'll sell opening weekend, Jake Smith?
Upwards of 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that many. Goodness gracious, I was thinking like 10.
But let's let James keep accidentally believing he said 30. It might be good for him.
And I spoke to my friend Anna, who wrote the introduction, and she said, James, she said, I'd be impressed if you sold 300. And I thought, right, you and me both. But opening weekend, what's a success? What's a failure? Well, for the amount of time and effort that's been put into it, I think one book sold would be good. I haven't worked very hard on the poems. They just fall out of me like I'm an antenna.
See, right there is your problem with this man writing a book of poems. Things don't tend to fall out of an antenna. That is a bizarre and meaningless thing to say.
I gotta tell you, I feel almost guilty releasing this book of poems because it's been so easy. There's been no agony, no difficulty. They just plop right out of me.
Like an antenna?
I wish I could read one of the poems to you now, but I gave my draft copy away to Peter James today and it made him so pleased. Well, that's one less person who's buying a copy of my book of poems. Oh, they just come, they just flow, I just feel them. And I write them down. Are they any good? I don't know. Who knows what's good and what's not good in this day and age? But, again, I read them out in Brisbane, I read them out in Adelaide. People seem to enjoy them. Who knows how many books of poems we will sell opening weekend. And now, of course, after that, we can start doing all of the things that might result in more copies of the books of poems selling. We might have to get some reviews, some interviews, some Jimmy Choo's, some penny loafer shoes. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
I mean, we could We could record some ads, and we can target people on Facebook who buy books of poems. We can buy ads on Amazon. I can do a radio tour. I can go on all the different radio stations, maybe, if they'll have me. Hello, Ben and Liam. Can I talk about my book of poems? They might say yes. Michael Hing, hello. I don't know if you heard the last open letter that I wrote to you, but wouldn't it be absolutely lovely if you let me talk about my book of poems on Triple J? Marlon Brando, 9/11. Who knows? We'll try and get on some other people's podcasts. But to begin with no further promo, just on September 10, I'm going to say, you know what would please me? What would really thrill me is 30. I think if we sell 30...
The same number that his manager did not say.
That'll be good. I'll be pleased with that. Any more than that, it's a gift. Any less than that, it's a gift as well. If I sell one, frankly, you know what? Revise the 30 thing. 30 go away. If I sell one book of poems, I'll be as happy as a little girl. Even if I just sell that one book of poems. And if that's to you, the person listening to this podcast, if you go out right now, you go to Amazon, you know, and say it's past September 10, and you look up Marlon Brando, 9/11, beautiful poems that everybody will love. You know, everybody will love these poems. I truly believe that. So if you go and you look that up and you buy those poems and they come direct to your house and you read them, you love them, that's enough for me. And if we sell, of course, 100,000, and we could sell 100,000, well, I'll just buy the boat and that'll be that. And I'll probably start working. Ooh, excuse me, a little burp there. And that will be that, and then I'll probably start working on the next book of poems, because if you sell that many poems, boy howdy. I don't know how it would be possible to sell that many opening weekend. There wouldn't be time for the poems actually to be delivered to anybody who had ordered it. So I would need just people on the name alone to, in vast numbers, buy the poems. That seems unlikely, but let's see. One. If I sell one... We're having fun. If I sell two, well, that's good too. It's not a very good rhyme, not very portentous for the book of poems. If I sell three, yippee. If I sell four, ooh, we've sold some more. If I sell five, I'll feel alive, yes. If I sell six, I'll chuck on some dicks, excuse me. I don't know why that came out of me. If I sell six, well, our book of poems is really in the mix. If I sell seven, that's a foretaste of heaven. If I sell eight, the easy rhyme there is I'm feeling great. Why should we reach for anything more difficult? I'm feeling great. If we sell nine, that doesn't make a lot of sense though, because nine would be better than eight, right? And with nine, I obviously want to rhyme it with I'm feeling fine. Ooh, nine, well, that's divine. 10, check those numbers again. That's too many. 11, that's a foretaste of heaven. Even more. 12, start putting money on a shelf. 13, those numbers ain't mean. 14, those numbers ain't mean. 15, I bet you're feeling green with envy. 16, I bet you're feeling green with nausea from the inability to comprehend how many books of poems I'm selling. 17, that's the number between. 18 and 19. No, it's not. That would be 18 and a half. Ah, look. 20.
Thank goodness this should be last one.
That book's not so spenny. $20 RRP. 21.
I was wrong.
Now we're having fun. 22. I don't know what to do. 23, financial freedom got me feeling free. 24, give me some more. 25, I jump and jive. 26, I'm choking on dicks. Again, why that? Why say that? That's unpleasant. 26. I'm going to get inspected by Hans Bricks from the UN. Do you remember that? 27.
Say foretaste of heaven again. I dare you.
That's more than 11. It's true. 28. I'm feeling better. Excuse me. 28. I can be late, because you can be late when you have money. 29. I could pay any fine. You know what I mean? Like when I'm driving around on the road at the moment and I see the police, I'm very afraid because I'm trying to do the right thing by them. But if for some reason they go, you got a tail light out, I'm giving you a fine. Or if they say, hey, we saw you on your phone, which I do all the time, we're giving you a fine. Hey, you were speeding, we're giving you a fine. You didn't indicate, we're giving you a fine. I can't afford to pay any of those fines at the moment. But if I sell 29 copies of Marlon Brando 9/11 this weekend, I can break any road rule I want. Watch out, I'm coming for you. I'm running you down. 30. I'm feeling dirty. Because I've got too much money. And it's the root of all evil, is the covetous desire for money. 31! We've only just begun. One could go on and on. And frankly, if you've stayed with me this long, I congratulate you. I congratulate you. 32! Come on. How can you tolerate me? 33! Do you want some more? 34! I don't know how many copies of the book we're going to sell. That poem's not in the book. Maybe in the next book, but not in this book. Housemate for the night, Ash Filzaim, has come back. I am saying that correctly. I always think I'm getting it wrong.
That is it's actually Fizame, but yeah, Filzaim works.
Ash Filzaim has returned from a successful MC gig. You were good.
Yeah, you were good too, man.
Yeah, you were. Gosh, good. We were both pretty good.
Yeah, we were awesome. I think we're the best comedians in the world.
Yeah. That's why only the best comedians in the world get to come down to, what is the name of this town again?
Lennox Heads.
And what a wonderful place it is. Now, I like to end the podcast, I've just done most of it, with affirmations.
Yes.
You can join me here. So, for example, I affirm that I'm going to sell at least one copy of my book of poems that's coming out very soon, you know? But you've got a special that you've recorded not long ago.
Yes, I got a special I just recorded. We just sold it. We're in the process of the marketing. It's going to be released in January, because there's so many stuff, so much stuff.
So many hoops.
Yeah. So
can I say something you told me after you recorded the special?
Yes, yes, you can.
And I've quoted this to people. Do you know what I'm about to say?
Yes.
I said, how did it go? And what did you say?
I said, God was in the building.
You said, God was in the building.
God was in the building, man, because it was such a magical night. It couldn't be nothing but God.
That's such an American thing to do. No Australian ever go, had the show go, mate, I reckon God was in the building. People go, no, it was all right. It was fair enough. But only the American can go. How was your special? It's like God was in the building.
God was in the building, yo. God was in. You know, people don't know this. I actually fasted for 3 days for this. And I, because I'm not Christian. Well, look, I'm very spiritual. People, that's a private life of mine. But we'll talk about it. But what I did, I fasted and I prayed for 3 days straight. Drink nothing but water, man.
Before the special. When they're for the show?
For the special.
And nothing until after you came off stage?
No. I did
a carb load before.
No, I did it the weekend before because it was on a Sunday and I didn't want to like fast on the 30 because it's usually Friday, Saturday, and Sunday I was on the fast. But the weekend before, I fasted Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I just drank water and I just prayed and I was in my room. I just prayed because I've never done anything like that in my life. It was, I made it myself, produced it myself. I didn't know if I had people going to show up or if I had any fans. You know, I just, it's my first time doing something like this because no one was paying me any attention as far as the industry goes. So
yeah, I've just bitched and moaned about this book of poems and said a very similar thing, but I haven't done any fasting. I just had a packet of chips.
Oh man, it's. Oh,
excuse me, hold on, something's going on. Is that your phone?
That was my wife messaging me.
Yeah, you worked hard.
I worked extremely hard in it, man. And it was a Sunday night. We sold out a 450 venue seater, and I had what I did was I brought a lot of opening acts. I had six opening acts open up for me, And because these acts, two of them usually do the Comics Lounge, but a lot of them, four of them always wanted to do it, but they never got a chance.
And so you got Alessio up, is this correct?
Yes, Alessio being one
of
them.
And that was his first time doing that?
That was his first time.
That's a blessing, because he's a talent, he's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's been trying to get on there for so long, and you got him in the door, you did the right thing.
I did that for a couple of comics, man. I always do that, but like I saw him, I'm like, once you get on the lounge, it's like, oh, you know, he reminds me of a younger me in the sense that he's apprehensive about asking. He's scared to ask. So I'm like, you know what? I get where you're coming from. Yes. And I say you're scared to ask. He's like, I was like, why don't you do it? He's like, oh, you know, I'm like, you know, I just want, I'm like, don't worry about it, dude. So I went, I talked to the guys. The guys goes, the bookers, and they go, you can book whoever you want to. It's your fucking show, man. I go, got it. So, and I told him very nonchalantly, I said, oh, I was finishing a gig.
And that young Italian man who's here every single day.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll put him on.
I said, no, yeah, well, I saw him at another gig, another open mic. I go, hey, by the way, man, you're opening up for me March 13th. He goes, really? I said, yeah, the Comics Lounge. He goes, okay. I said, are you ready? He goes, yeah. And I just walked away. And he was just like, and I'm sure he was like, fuck him. Because you got to do it in a very subtle way. You can't be like, hey, man, guess what? I'm opening
for you. No, you don't want to amp him up. You want to make him calm.
Yeah.
I think it was a good thing to do.
So bookers and like people who book rooms, we do very great. But like,
well, you just have to be good to get in a room, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter if you can make people laugh and they'll come back.
Right.
But we're talking about another level of the industry where they don't actually profit, right? No. It's just gatekeeping.
Yeah, and that's what I've been. That's what made me do a special on my own. I realized no one was like in the industry that the gatekeepers weren't taking me that serious. And it's just like, I feel like in a sense, like, well, you're American. Why are you here? You're American. Like, you can be in America doing this. And then, so there's a sense of that. And the thing is that I thought like when I was black, so I fit like, you know, they're doing all this, you know, agenda stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even fit that. You know when I should have, you know when I should have struck? When George Floyd got fucking choked out. That would have been the perfect time. Because I was getting messages from all types of white people. Hey, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fucking fine.
I could be better if I had more gigs.
Yeah. It was during a lockdown. At first, I'm like, the lockdown? Yeah. No, not the lockdown. You know, the George Floyd thing. I'm like, I didn't get choked out, bro. And yes, I'm okay. This has been happening for a very, very long time. And it's not something that, you know, that's new to me. But I should have went to like an agency. Like, hey, you guys want to sign me, man? Come on, Black Lives Matter. I should have capitalized on it.
Because
you know what it is? And I'll say this very bluntly. We are a box to tick. I got told by one agency that we already have a black person.
Yeah.
We already have a black person.
One black person.
Yeah, and so that was enough. And that's how they think. They try to be so non-racist that they come out fucking more racist than they're trying to be in the first place.
God was in the building.
God was in the building again.
Hey, I affirm you're going to make it.
Thanks. I think I intermittent fast for that one.
I got to do some fasting. I'm going to finish this beer and then after that I'll consider fasting. Hey, thank you for coming on the catamaran plan.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, brother.
Thank you very much, James Donald, Forbes McCann, Catamaran Plan. Listeners, that's Marlon Brando and 9/11. Let's not forget, that's coming out soon. I love you. I miss you. Catamaran Ho. Goodbye. Keep it real, everybody. Here's a song. One time. Looking into your eyes, seeing the hatred, seeing the lies, seeing the things that I despise, seeing the things I wish weren't true. Maybe I love you. Kissing and hugging and walking and talking and looking and searching and feeling and fighting and searching and searching and doing all the things that lovers do. Maybe I love you. Because you're all I've ever wanted. Outlap me to get me through the day. Baby, baby, oh yeah. And you know the deep down that for you it's just the same way. At least it used to be. Two time. You and me used to take such joy in doing everything together. Looking at such a feeling, fighting such a decision, doing all the things that lovers do. Maybe I love you because you're all I've ever wanted, and you're all I need to get me through the day. Baby, baby, oh yeah. And you know the deep down that for you it's just the same way. At least it used to be. Thank you.
just the same way. At least it used to be.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.